I want us today to talk about a subject that may not be of absolute interest to every one of us, but it's a great vital subject. I want to talk about what the Bible says about husbands and wives and adultery. We are in the midst of our Soldiers of Christ on Sunday night, and we've been making it a part also of Sunday morning services, of looking at some of the great things that are found there in the book of Proverbs. And while not all of the verses we'll use in this lesson today will be from Proverbs, so many of them are from the book of Proverbs. You see, we live in a world that is characterized by complexity. As you begin thinking about your life, think of how complex it is. Think about all the things you don't understand in the technological world in which we find ourselves. Unbelievable things that are happening in the scientific world, and I just can't begin to figure it out. Those of us who have trouble trying to remember to turn on the computer have no way of understanding all that technology that is there. And whatever happened to that old phone that I used to have? I really believe that what us old folks need is a cell phone that has a rotary dial on it. I just think that might really help some of us get around. That's that complexity of this world, isn't it? And in the complexity of this world, we have great inability to understand it. We're just not able to figure out what's going on. Now you think about that in the spiritual part of our relationship to God. Think about the complexity there is and how complicated sometimes relationships are inside a marriage, inside any relationship, but especially inside a marriage. Think about the complexity that there is involved in the dating world. And in the fact that people are sometimes waiting later to get married than they used to, and the greater pressure there is upon them in reference to sexual purity. There's a great, great diversity of ideas. And it really boils down to this, and that is in trying to figure out not computers and telephones and things of that nature, but in trying to figure out life and relationship, there are only two sources to go to. And one is human wisdom. And so when it comes to the matter of trying to figure out what is right and what is wrong, so many individuals set the light that enlightens their feet by what is done by most folks. And so whenever in the school situation or in the workplace, you hear individuals talking about, well, what did you do Saturday night? And you hear the discussion of things that's going on. The decisions are made based on human wisdom oftentimes. And then the great, great popularity of all of these talk shows and the fact that, most individuals are having the philosophies of their lives formed by the real life situations in those television programs or by those talk shows where there's some self-nominated or perhaps nominated even by others expert who said, if you really want to understand how to have a happy marriage, here it is. And then there is that divine wisdom. Now Solomon is described as the wisest man that obviously lived in his day and perhaps the wisest man other than Jesus who has ever lived on this earth. Now before we magnify Solomon too much, remember when as a young king he became king, and he asked God not for riches and powers, but he prayed, God, give me wisdom. And God says, Solomon, I will not only give you what you ask, I'll give you these other things in addition to it, but I will give you wisdom. And so whenever we are studying in the Sunday night classes and in the Soldiers of Christ, when we're talking about the book of Solomon, you need to understand that these proverbs that are here are not just proverbs that somebody sort of thought them up. The kind of thing that your mom or your dad would say whenever they're trying to help you understand life. You know, a penny saved is a penny earned, you know, and things of that nature. You know, fun's not fun unless fun is fun for everyone. All of those kinds of little homilies or homiletics that come from mom, your life is governed by them. Eat everything on your plate. Think about all those starving children down in China. And you stop and think about those things by which we're brainwashed. Now, the book of Solomon in the beginning says, almost in the first eight chapters, in every chapter, in every chapter, and sometimes more than one in the chapter, Solomon says, "My son, my son, my son, my son." Here is Solomon, the wisest man that's ever lived, talking to his own children about saying, "Here's the wisdom that God's given to me, and I want to give you some proverbs that need to govern your life." Now, what is the wisdom about marriage? You see, there is that divine wisdom that we have that's given about husbands and wives in the first part of our lesson. We're going to look at that divine, the latter part of our lesson, we're going to look at what the wisest man that lived on this earth, what he said about adultery and how to avoid adultery. And you and I need to understand that the kingdom of God is threatened by all that's happening out here in the world and all of the lifestyles that are there, and in an increasing way, the matter of adultery and the commonness of adultery is a threat to the purity of the kingdom of God. What does the Bible say about marriage? Look at Proverbs. Look at this divine wisdom about husbands and wives. Down at the bottom of the screen, you'll see the shaded area that has in it the verses that will be found on those Soldiers of Christ cards that we use on Sunday night. That's the format. Look, for example, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. The wisest man that ever lived says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." Now, as we're talking about this, look at those words at the bottom and try to write these words on your heart. These words that are down here on the bottom. Because here's one of the problems. Whoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Do you understand the sacredness of marriage? And the fact that the wisest man that ever lived says, if you find a wife, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And that wife is a manifestation of the grace of God. That's something that ought to be written on our heart. And there's not a husband in this audience this morning who ought not to recognize what God is trying to say. She's not bad. And God has given her to you. And there develops out of that an attitude of respect that I have, because this is a cherished gift from God. When David preached about the matter of children two weeks ago, children are the heritage of God. They're God's gift to us. Well, this verse says that our wives are a manifestation of favor, and that word favor is the word grace in the Old Testament. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Do you believe that? Somebody said, "Well, not true for me." Then you need to read that verse again. He who finds a wife has received the grace of God in his life. Husbands, when was the last time the principle that's found in this verse was manifested in the way you treated your wife? When was the last time you verbalized this principle that's found in this book? But that's not all that is said there. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones." Now, there's a principle that is involved here, and there is that part of this verse that applies to the husband, and there is that part that applies to the wife. But that every husband ought to recognize that the crown of his life in the sight of God is to be his wife. If you had a crown, how would you treat it? Think of the royal gems and the royal jewels that are guarded over in England. Think of how precious they are. The Bible says that in the marriage relationship, the crown of a man's life is his wife. And somebody says, that's not the way it is for me. Well, that's why the rest of this verse is here. And there's that responsibility. And wives, listen to what God says about your responsibility. The very place that God has designed is for Him to view you as a gift from God, that I've found a good thing. And for that wife to understand, and I am the adorning crown for His life. But if I'm not, then I am the one who causes shame, and it is like rottenness in the bones. Look again. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. What does the Bible say about marriage? Wives, listen to this. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Have you ever known? You ever known any woman that destroyed a home? You ever known a woman who by lack of treasuring what she has in her life was the very cause of the breaking up and the destruction of that very home? The Bible says, here's the wisest man that ever lived that says, here is what you need to do. The wise woman is the one who does everything she can to build up her home. And when we get to this part of the lesson that talks about the woman who is cantankerous, you want to destroy the ego of your husband? You want to destroy the self-esteem of your children? And thereby, don't you ever say in your life, you'll never amount to anything. It'll destroy you. And those of you who in this audience have had mates that say to you, I am so sorry I married you. It's the worst mistake I ever made in my life. Has violated the very principle that's found in these verses. A gift from God. And you cannot afford to destroy that house. But look at this one. Proverbs chapter 6. Is that the next one? I've flipped a page here too quick. Proverbs chapter 11. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Now, if I were some sensational kind of preacher, I'd reach under this stage right here and pull out a hog's head. And it'd have a nose ring in it that's bedecked with all of the jewels. Somebody said, what a waste! Yeah. And if God has made you lovely in appearance, and you have taken that lovely appearance and have not been characterized by integrity, think about Hollywood. Think about MTV. Think about all that is happening in our world right this very moment. That the beautiful people have no discretion at all. They are lawless in their behavior. And male and female. In our very society is destroying the very heart of our culture. And all you've got to do is think about recent events in the lives of sports heroes. And to think about the words and the attitude that's manifested by those who are in Hollywood. Oh yeah, we've been together and we're thinking about getting what? Discretion? No ability to make wise judgment and to use the things that God has given to you? Do you not understand that the Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a house than in a house shared with a contentious woman? You think about the kinds of a house they had, and there's that flat roof, and right over there in the corner is a little pup tent, little lean-to attached to the, or I'm living this big house with a big flat roof all over the place, and the wisest man that ever lived said, it's better to live in a shanty. It's better to live under the bridge than it is to dwell in the nicest house in Palm Beach County with a nagging wife. Isn't that amazing? And that's God saying that. And what a lesson to every wife there is, as we've talked about that husband having an attitude toward that wife that says, you're God's gift to me. You're the crown of my life. It's such an honor to be able to have been blessed by the grace of God bestowed upon me for that wife who is always complaining about everything that's happening. Negative, destruction, no happiness in the home. Children are a mess. Wish I didn't have these children. And I wish I'd never married you. Nag, 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 nag. And the wisest man that ever lived said, be better to live under the bridge. And wives, you need to hear this. The godliness of your husband may not let him leave you to live under the bridge, but he'd be better off. And thank God for those godly wives who stood beside cantankerous and evil husband, and thank God for those men who have stood beside their wives in spite of the fact that they are that contentious woman. Here's another one. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 15. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. You're talking about a swine snout. What about a dripping faucet? I mean, just a noise that just repeats itself over and over and over again. You've got that noise and it's just always there in the background. And I don't know, it just seems like it's just always there. And regardless of what you're talking about, that noise is just always there again and again and again and again. And turn on the television and the noise is still there. And you know, and eating supper and the noise is still there. And you go to bed and the noise is... Point made. And when Dave and I were writing these, we thought, there are so many of these verses about nagging women and dripping faucets. And we almost, in designing this whole lesson, we almost said, let's not put them all in there. And then we thought, but God put them in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? It's not nagging husbands. It's not contentious husbands. And that says something about how to have a happy home. Husbands, listen to this. In a day and age in which that attitude is, well, I'll stay married to her, we'll have a starter marriage, and down the road after I get a little bit successful in marriage, I'll trade in this old wife for a trophy wife. You know, Solomon talks about that. And so in chapter 2, he says, drink water from your own cisterns, running water from your own wells. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the street, let them be your own and not for strangers with you. What on earth is he talking about? Here it is. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. There's an unbelievable difference in saying rejoice with a new young wife and rejoice with a wife that you got when you were young. And verse 19 talks about the physical aspect of marriage, says, as loving deer and as a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. You see God's view of marriage and what God wants our marriages to be like. And that's why Solomon in Proverbs chapter 31 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's look at the matter of adultery. There are so many verses in Proverbs that talk about the matter of adultery. Here's a description of it in chapter 2. Solomon says, I've given these things to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. I've given ye these to deliver you from that woman who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. That's evidently talking about a marriage covenant that she made. It may be greater than the marriage covenant, but here is this immoral woman who has forsaken her companion and thereby forsaken the covenant of her God. Listen to this. For her house leads down to death. You see, that statement in that marriage ceremony that says, till death do us part, for better or for worse, is a commitment that you've made and a vow that you've made to God. It's a part of the covenant that you have with God. It's a part of the wife's covenant. It's a part of the husband's covenant. And so he says, whenever that person comes to you in the workplace, when that individual comes to you in a dating situation, when that individual you meet at some restaurant, those of you who are younger adults, and there she is, and there is that attractiveness that she has, and you're fascinated because of what she looks like and the way she talks, Solomon says, have another look at it. You are headed down a road that leads to spiritual death. You're headed to hell. That's the fruit of it. And how many homes have been crushed because of a situation that developed in the office or in the workplace or in some association with a husband who was fascinated by everything there was without seeing how many children have been left without a father in their home. Because there was that husband who was fascinated by that other individual, and he did not understand that woman who is the seductress, who flatters with her lips, is that individual that is going to damn your souls. And the same thing about wife. But the specific application here is about husband. But in that very same thing, I know your husband's not the best man on earth. And I know that man at work, well, it's just so much easier to talk to him. And he really seems, I just find it able to talk to him about things I cannot even talk to my husband about. That's the very thing we're talking about. And that is those flattering words that are stated in order that they might appeal to you. And the Bible says, look at it. It's leading to spiritual death. And so it says, her house leads down to death and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. How many broken homes have been broken by that seductress who flattered that man, who flattered that wife, and destroyed the home. And that home will never be the same. Never be the same. Even if by the grace of God there's a restoration of it. It'll never happen. Look again. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats, she wipes her mouth and says, I haven't done anything wrong. What an unbelievable contrast between human wisdom and divine wisdom. here's that individual who looks out at the world and she says, well, everybody else is doing it. I'm going to do it. This is my lifestyle. This is the way I am. And this is the way all the people who are of renown in America, here are the heroes of America, and this is the lifestyle that they have. And so if it's all right for them, it must be all right for me. And I haven't done anything wrong. Do you understand the arrogance of an individual who says, I haven't done anything wrong, when the God of heaven has said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Do you understand the arrogance of that individual who said, I can live an immoral life, I can be a fornicator, I can be an adulteress, and it'll be all right with me, everybody else is doing it, when the God of heaven says the marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I haven't done anything wrong, when the God of heaven says no fornicator, no adulterer can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And on the day of judgment, imagine standing on the day of judgment, eating and wiping the lips and saying, I haven't done anything wrong before the God of heaven. And so Solomon says, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can he walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? You're talking about pulling out a pig's head and talking about putting a jewel in there and putting a dripping faucet up here. What about getting some live coals and just put it right here inside my coat? Oh, it's not going to bother me. What's he talking about? Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Look at verse 25 in the next slide. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Here's wisdom from God that says, here's your marriage, and here is that individual that you've met, or that you will meet in the next year, or the next 5 years, or an individual that comes to you from the past and think, well, I remember what it was like when we were dating, and I just want to get back to that old boy, that boyfriend that I had years ago. Listen to what the God of heaven said. You cannot play with fire without getting burned. And so he says, you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible says, if a man looks on a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart. And Solomon says, the wisest man that ever lived said with the wisdom that God gave to him, do not lust after her beauty. And every male in this audience needs to write these words on his heart. Proverbs chapter 5 in this matter of adultery says, remove your ways far from her, and don't go near to the door of her house. Do you hear that? You want to avoid adultery? You stay away from her house. You stay away from getting in her car. You stay away from going to her favorite restaurant. You want to avoid adultery? Stay away from his house. Stay away from his car. Stay away from his favorite place to eat. Why? Because you can't take fire into your bosom without being burned. Well, I don't mean anything by it. You know, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I can be friends with them. It won't bother me. Folks, that is human wisdom. The divine wisdom says you've made a commitment. She's the crown of your life. She's the wife of your youth. Stay with her. And Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32 says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding, and he who does so destroys his own soul. We talked about the ruining of that home and the ruining of that marriage. It is the damnation of one's soul. Quickly, can you fill in the blanks from today's lessons? These words have I written on my heart that I might not sin against thee. Can you finish this sentence? He who finds a wife finds, were you listening? A good thing. An excellent wife is the crown, were you listening? Of her husband. The wise woman builds her house, her own house. A lovely woman who lacks discretion is like, I know you got that one, a gold ring in the swine of a snout. Or the snout of a swine either, it'd be even better, okay? It's better to dwell in the corner of a house than in a house that's shared with what? A wide house that's shared with what? A contentious woman. A contentious wife is like dripping on a very rainy day. Husbands are told, rejoice with the wife of your youth. The worth of a virtuous woman is far, far above rubies. The flattering words of an immoral woman lead down to death. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. Remove your ways far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Whoever commits adultery lacks understanding and destroys his own soul. Folks, it's serious. I want to read to you a section from Proverbs chapter 7. When I was a young person at Athens Bible School, I remember teachers reading these verses to me. They read Proverbs 31 that described the virtuous woman. And Solomon says, my son, keep my words, treasure my commandments. Keep my commands and live, and my laws, the apple of your eyes, bind them on your fingers, write them on your hearts, and say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call to understanding your nearest kin. This will keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. And then this story. And folks, this story is repeated in a modernized way in America time and again in this day. At the windows of my house, I looked through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding passing along the streets near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at her home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. I have paid my vows, so I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. And I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings from the Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a lot of money with him. And he'll come home at an appointed day. Obviously sometime in the future. With her enticing words, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately she went after her. He went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter and as a fool to the correction of the stock till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know that it would cost him his life. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death, eternal death. Folks, as attractive as adultery may be, may we, as a result of the wisdom in Solomon's writings, hate it and detest it and see what it's like. And may God help us to avoid it. Let's sing this song of invitation. You may want to remove sin from your life, to get sin out of your life. If you're not a child of God, you need to believe in Him. That's what Mark 16 says. You need to repent of your sins. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You need to confess your faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And then you need to be baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3. And He'll add you to the church. And then as a Christian, you need to be faithful until the day that you die. How can this church help you? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?